Thank you, Your Honor, and may it please the Court. My name is Andrew Schlafly, representing the Association of American Physicians and Surgeons, and Robert T. McQueenie, M.D. This case is about the Patient Protection and Affordable Care Act, which I'll refer to as ACCA. ACCA expressly requires...
I think referring to it as the Act would be a lot easier on our ears.
Yes, Judge Easterbrook. The Act requires...
You're suggesting a breathtaking expansion of jurisdiction, aren't you? You're suggesting any time someone has a potential economic damage from some governmental act, he can bring a lawsuit, right? I mean, taxes, they ramify through the economy and it could hurt people. Where would you stop?
With all due respect, Judge Posner, we're not objecting to a general tax. We're objecting to how this...
You're objecting
Why
to...
Why don't you answer Judge Posner's question, which is, where would you stop? We live in a world where everything is connected to everything else. So what is your stopping point that interests me as well as Judge Posner?
Stopping point is if someone is not being regulated by a particular statute, and if someone is just objecting to the way taxes are being imposed or not imposed on someone else outside of their field.
No, we're talking about when Judge Easterbrook talks about interconnection. It's quite possible to trace a harm to me from some regulatory provision that affects other people, right?
Well, but this is a lot more direct, Your Honor. This is a regulation of the medical field. This is something that goes right to the patient population that these doctors see. This is not some remote tax somewhere. This is not.
That's true, but anything that affects doctor-patient relations is going to affect employers of patients, relatives of patients, customers of patients.
And it affects everything else. If a firm doesn't have to pay the tax for not having a particular insurance plan, it will have more money and it might well license InStep software. So why can't InStep sue?
Because, Judge Easterbrook, it's not an issue of whether the person has more money or not. It's an issue of whether the person has to prepay for medical services under the Act, and therefore that person's not going to pay a second time for the same medical services. What the Act does...
It's like saying people who get food stamps don't pay as much for groceries. And that hurts the grocers.
And actually, the grocer could then file suit saying, you haven't authorized enough people to have food stamps in this census tract. We would have much more business if you handed out more food stamps.
With all due respect, I think it's like...
You know, when you say all due respect, the meaning of that phrase is, if you weren't a judge, I'd call you an idiot. If you want to express respect, you just say with respect. You don't say due respect.
Yes, Judge Easterbrook.
With might respect. Not be any due, but go ahead.
This case, I think, falls right under Main Street Organization of Realtors. In Main Street Organization of Realtors, there was an ordinance passed that required that homes be inspected before they're sold. Brokers, real estate brokers, challenged that ordinance. This court found that there is Article 3 standing for real estate brokers to challenge an ordinance that required home inspections before
a
home
was sold. What does that have to do with taxes? The Supreme Court said in Allen against Wright that we don't, for tax cases, try to trace through different levels of the economy all the consequences of taxes paid and unpaid. So far as I know, the Supreme Court has never allowed A to sue about B's taxes. Am I misunderstanding the Supreme Court's view?
Your Honor, Judge Easterbrook, there is the concurring opinion of Justice Potter Stewart, which says someone should never be able to sue.
$2.50 will get you a cup of coffee at Starbucks.
Well, right.
Has the Supreme Court ever allowed one person to sue about a different person's taxes?
I don't have the answer to that question.
If you know of a case in which it did, I would love to know.
I don't, but I don't view this as merely a tax case.
If we go through multiple levels, why aren't your clients helped rather than hurt? You represent that your clients run a cash practice and they don't take insurance.
Yes.
So if the employers are not being required to pay their taxes, they're less likely to have insurance plans, since the purpose of the tax is to coerce them to have insurance plans. They're less likely to have insurance plans and therefore more likely to buy your client's services.
No, Your Honor.
Because you're on the wrong side of this case.
Because what we're seeing is the individuals are being pushed into purchasing individual insurance. And one of my big objections here is this case was thrown out in the pleadings. So I was never able to develop the facts. And we're seeing reports now. There's a newspaper report just in the past 2 weeks, New York Times, that employees of Walmart are rushing to buy insurance because they're going to get taxed under the individual mandate if they do not purchase insurance. So the individuals are now going out and paying mostly out of their own pocket. I think Walmart may help them a little bit, but they're paying a lot out of their own pocket to purchase insurance. And even though it's called insurance, what that really is in most cases is prepaid health care. And once they pay for that, they're not going to pay a second time out of their own pocket for someone who doesn't take insurance. Once they purchase that insurance, they're going to go to a doctor who accepts that insurance. Nobody pays twice for the same thing. And what the executive branch has done...
Sounds like your fundamental dispute then is with the statute, with the universal coverage requirement, and not with the failure to collect taxes on particular businesses.
The statute requires employers to bear some of the burden, requires that the employer mandate be imposed simultaneously with the individual mandate so that employers would protect these workers at Walmart, for example, with affordable care. The employers pay for it. When the employers pay for it, an individual is more willing to go out of network and purchase medical care at the individual's own expense. But once that individual is forced into insurance, they're not going to pay twice for medical care. And I don't know why we were not allowed to develop the facts on this. I mean, standing is not...
When you say they're forced into buying insurance, that sounds as if they're harmed, they're coerced. Is that what you're saying? Well, why aren't they the logical litigants then?
I think they could be litigants too.
But they're the ones primarily harmed, right?
Well, they may be harmed. I mean, they're getting their medical care through their insurance carrier. So there may be some harm there. It's really the doctors, the out-of-network doctors, who have the clearest loss because they're losing bad business. And again, to me, it's almost identical to Main Street Organization of Brokers, real estate brokers. The brokers did have Article III standing to challenge an ordinance that required inspection of homes before they could be sold. The brokers were not buying and selling the homes. They did not have to bring in the inspectors, but they were harmed by that. Standing only requires a trifling, and we're entitled to have some factual development to prove our standing. Not only did the judge cut off any factual development, and in my opinion, require some sort of heightened pleading for standing, but he dismissed it with prejudice. So that as the facts come in with the implementation of what the executive branch is doing, we can't sue now. Facts could come in now that prove our standing, but we were dismissed with prejudice. And as a matter of just legal philosophy, I don't understand, if there's lack of standing, why a court would dismiss the case with prejudice.
But the Affordable Care Act obviously has had substantial economic consequences, and many people are worse off, others are better off. Your suggestion is anyone made worse off by a government, whether the legislation itself or its implementation by the agencies, has standing to sue.
Judge Posner.
That is your proposition, right?
Well,
nothing unique about your association.
If there's a clear violation of separation of powers, which I think there is by
well, that's the
executive
merits,
branch.
Right? That's
well,
the
right,
merits. The point is, how do you... there are, you know, literally millions of people affected by this law and its administration, many adversely. And how do you... and all of them have standing to sue?
Under Bond versus the United States, if there's a separation of powers violation, then
well,
there is an individual
what the
right.
nature of the violation is. We're talking about standing. So is your proposition anybody adversely harmed by the Affordable Care Act or its administration has standing to sue?
With respect to the executive branch changing the law without congressional approval.
No, that's the merits. That's well, the merits. I'm talking about standing. Does everybody harmed, but either by the administration of the law, which you says violates the separation of powers, or by the law itself, which might be challenged, was challenged, do all those people have standing?
Standing with respect.
Look, do all of those people have standing, yes or no?
Yes.
Yes, okay.
I mean, it depends on the issue. I mean, they don't have standing to complain about what Congress
passed. No, it
doesn't
depend on the issue. It depends on whether they're hurt.
I'd like to reserve my remaining time for rebuttal.
Okay, thank you. Ms. Wong?
Thank you, Judge Posner, and may it please the Court. For the reasons that we stated in our brief, we believe that the District Court properly dismissed this case on standing grounds. I'm happy to answer any questions.
Yeah,
that this
do you know
has.
The answer to my question? I think the answer, well, my question, has the Supreme Court ever held that a person other than a taxpayer has standing to sue about the amount of tax that person pays?
I'm not aware of any, and the plaintiffs certainly have not cited any
yeah,
in their briefs.
Well, I'm not aware of any either, but I hoped that an expert, such as yourself, would be able to be more conclusive than that.
Well, the Supreme Court...
Try to say, be conclusive, is say no, and then you're home free.
The basic problem is the answer I'm not aware of could be caused by failure to do research, as well as by having done the research and found none.
Well, the Supreme Court has made clear in a number of cases that an attenuated chain of causation regarding taxes that depends on the discretionary decisions of third parties and how they'll react to tax incentives does not confer standing on a plaintiff. And those cases apply with full force here and demonstrate that the plaintiffs in this case have not satisfied Article 3. If the Court has no further questions, we submit the judgment should be affirmed. Thank you.
Mr. Schlafly, do you have anything further?
Judge Easterbrook, the proposition that you're talking about was written in a concurrence by Justice Potter Stewart in the Simon versus Eastern Kentucky Welfare Rights Organization. And he said he cannot now imagine a case, at least outside the First Amendment area, where a person whose own tax liability was not affected could ever have standing to litigate the federal tax liability of someone else. But no one else joined that concurrence. So that was the opinion of one justice. He put it there. No one else agreed.
Well, you've now had more time to think. Have you located a case in which the Supreme Court has ever held that one person can litigate about the size of somebody else's taxes? Ever. You know, we're now talking more than 200 years. Ever is a long time.
Some of the Bob Jones cases come to mind. I don't know if there were other parties in that case. I know some of that litigation was with the Treasury Department.
The other party against Bob Jones was the United States. It was the tax collector. It wasn't anybody else litigating about Bob Jones's taxes.
I'm not aware whether anyone else was allowed to intervene in those taxes, but the bigger point, I accept that, Your Honor. The bigger point is we don't view this as a tax case. And when ACCA was passed, nobody viewed it as just a tax.
Until the Supreme Court addressed the problem.
Well, and even the Supreme Court, they upheld it as a tax. But even in NFIB, they didn't say, oh, this is just a tax, this is just tax. They said other provisions of the Constitution still apply. We're just upholding it based on a tax. And I'll point out that the government, in other cases, such as the Origination Clause cases, they're not arguing it's just a tax either. They say, well, the tax is incidental. It's really a regulatory scheme. That's what the government is arguing.
Well, there are regulatory taxes. They're, in fact, extremely common, right? And the same principle applies, that it's the taxpayer who has standing to complain about the regulatory tax, because the major brunt falls on him, not on...
In conclusion, we would request the right to replead based on the facts that are coming in. We filed this suit before the implementation.
But your facts have only to do with the merits and not with whether there is standing.
Well, the facts have to do with the injury to the physicians. And
there's no question that people other than taxpayers often are harmed by a tax, whether it's too light, too heavy, right? If billionaires were taxed, they managed to avoid most of their taxes, then other people, the ordinary financially mediocre people, would pay fewer taxes, right? Lower taxes.
We feel that there is more evidence that will come in. There'll be analysis of how...
You want to have poor people suing the government because the income tax system is no longer highly progressive? Is that what you're inviting?
We're not objecting to what Congress passed. We're objecting
we're talking about standing. We're not talking...
Right.
Okay. Suppose some poor people said that it was a violation of equal protection to have such an unprogressive tax system. They were being horribly burdened, and their rich compatriots were getting away with murder because of very light taxes. Then you would say, you wouldn't think it had any merit, but you would think, yeah, they have standing. They're being hurt by the taxes not paid by the rich people.
If the law,
that's the logic of your position, is it not? Yes or no? Yes or no? You answer my question. Yes or no?
I don't think that is the logic, Your Honor.
I asked you yes or no.
No, Your Honor.
No.
We're objecting to how the executive branch changed the law. We're not objecting to the
That's
taxes.
The merits. That is not the standing issue. Standing is about harm.
Yes, and there are...
And in my case, my hypothetical case, there is harm. Whether the harm is inflicted by Congress violating the Constitution or the executive branch violating the Constitution, right?
If there's a regulatory tax that's being applied in a way that harmed the poor people, in your example, they would have standing...
Right.
To object to that application, and if it's unconstitutional, a court should invalidate.
That is your position. Okay, well, thank you very much to both counsel.